for joining us for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. This weekend, Indiana plays host to the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. It's full of traditions, beginning with remembering and honoring all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. We at Hoosier Ag Today give our gratitude to them and their families and to all who served this great nation this Memorial Day weekend. The traditions continue from singing Back Home Again in Indiana to the ones you might have with your family and friends each year at the track. One of the most iconic traditions involves a glass bottle of milk presented by the American Dairy Association of Indiana. CJ Miller shares more today on that bottle of milk, how it became so iconic, and who gets to present it to this year's winning driver. There was a big step taken for the Farm Bill late Thursday night, Friday morning. Sabrina Halverson will have that story, and Andy Eubank will share grain market analysis coming up. But let's start with the weather. There have been opportunities to get in the field this past week, but Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says our luck is turning around. Some of us in northern Indiana and southern Indiana might have been hit with late Friday night, early Saturday morning scattered showers.
The big feature for the holiday weekend is going to be rain and thunderstorms, a big cluster that wants to move through from Sunday afternoon right on through early Monday morning. There we can see anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches of rain with coverage at about 90% of Indiana. There will be a few holes, but I think everybody gets a good shot of moisture out of that round of precipitation. We do dry down on Monday afternoon, so it's not a long haul feature, but there's plenty of moisture that can come.
That rain will potentially wreak havoc on our beloved Indy 500. Looking ahead,
Tuesday forward next week, we are mostly dry. I think we see some lingering clouds Tuesday with northwest flow, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are sunny, warm, and dry. I don't see us having another round of precipitation until we get closer to the weekend of the 1st and 2nd, and there we probably do see some hit-and-miss scattered showers. So once again, I do believe there are windows of opportunity here across the Hoosier State.
Martin has more details coming up a bit later on in the show, and he has them right now in written form on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. The House Ag Committee has voted to advance their version of the Farm Bill, but not without some major disagreements between Republicans and Democrats. Sabrina Halverson reports.
The markup session highlighted some of the political differences over a general framework that committee chair Glenn G.T. Thompson offered. Representative Johanna Hayes, a Democrat from Connecticut, said the House bill did not include her party's priorities.
I think any one of us would have loved to have the opportunity to at least get one or two of our priorities in. And that's what we are asking for. And that is what we are working for, because I, too, had a field hearing in my district. And many of the things that my constituents talked about are not included in here.
Representative Kat Kamick of Florida did not mince words with her response to Hayes and other Democrats who argued that the bill is partisan.
Now, as we all know, facts don't care about feelings, so here are some facts. This bill, in the base text, includes over 40 Democrat-led initiatives. 40. And of those 40 initiatives, they were specific asks from Democrat members on this committee, the very same members who are claiming that this bill is a wholly partisan undertaking. To say that this is not a bipartisan bill when you know full well that this bill includes your requested priorities, well, back home, we call that chicken shit.
Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts criticized the draft legislation, including its funding mechanisms that could take away money from nutrition programs.
We have Republican staffers apparently telling reporters that my colleagues and I are hunger weirdos. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you guys? I mean, really? Hunger weirdos? Are you kidding me? We're weird for thinking it's wrong for people in this country to go without food? Guess what? I think it's weird that a single American goes hungry. I think it's weird in the richest country in the history of the world that we have people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. And I think it's weird that we have hungry veterans and hungry seniors and hungry kids. And yeah, I think making it harder for people to eat is weird.
Thompson defended his funding proposals regarding nutrition spending.
I will say that the savings that CBO has identified that we've reinvested back into the Farm Bill, quite frankly, do not cut during the course of this 5 years of this Farm Bill any individual or family SNAP benefits. There's rhetoric on the outside that is amplifying that for their own purposes, but it is just not true.
The Senate also released its version of the Farm Bill, but has not begun markup. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
All right, Sabrina, thanks. Boy, did that escalate quickly.
I've got a hunch we haven't heard the end of this, and this farm bill is nowhere near done. More farm news on the way. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin coming up. Right now, markets with Andy Eubank.
Thank you, Eric. And it was a mixed day of trade on Friday. Only strength came in soybeans. Going into a three-day weekend, very quiet in corn and wheat. Soybeans picked up over a nickel. Settlements, July, corn, 464 and three quarters, up three quarters. September, corn, 474 and a half, up a penny and a quarter. And December, 488 and a quarter, up a penny and three quarters. Over in beans, July led the way higher, 1248, up eight and three quarters. And November, up 3.5 cents, 1219 and a half. July wheat loses three quarters, 697. And a quarter. Very steady throughout the session. June live cattle, 183.70, up 17 cents. June lean hogs, 94.27, down 25. Markets will be closed on Monday, Memorial Day. What will the trade be focused on when we open back up on Monday night and Tuesday for the day session? Mike Silver is here with some thoughts. Mike with Kokomo Grain.
Weather and planting progress obviously are definitely in play. Managed money, the commodity funds, their positions definitely in play. Geopolitical issues, we know that China's exerting muscle and the U.S.'s position, and we know the Israeli Hamas war, those geopolitical issues definitely are having some impact on monetary policy in some fashion, or some concerns about global grain appetites, if you will. The Fed came out and said basically inflation is not under the control they would like it to be. So monetary policy is definitely in play. And then, of course, I mentioned that I talk a little bit about planting progress. And unfortunately, due to the holiday that we'll have Monday, we won't get a planting progress report until Tuesday. But since trade will resume Monday night at 8 o'clock Indiana time, there will be some anticipation, trade expectations of what planting progress will be. But in the report that came out this last Monday, 70% of the U.S. corn crop was planted versus 71% on the five-year average. So pretty close. Indiana had 54% planted last week of corn versus a 57, so we lagged the five-year pace just a little. Illinois, 67 versus a five-year pace of 71, and Iowa, 78 versus 86 on the five-year average. So of the I states, Iowa definitely behind, and that's due to some pretty wet conditions that they've had over the course of the last 10 days. And certainly our hearts to go out to those that have been negatively impacted and affected by all the tornado activity out there across the state of Iowa and in other states for that matter. It's just been horrific, would be the best adjective that I could use to describe it after seeing some of the images. Now, in the soybeans, the U.S. 52% planted versus a five-year average of 49%, Indiana 49% versus a five-year average of 46, Illinois 58 versus 56, and Iowa 61 versus 67. So again, Iowa's lagging the pace. Now, those numbers were as of last Sunday, reported this last Monday on the 20th. And we know that in areas that didn't get the heavy rainfall or rainfall for that matter, that we expect that there will be geographically in certain areas of certain states some substantial planting progress. In our review of our locations here in Indiana, on the drier soils where we did not get the heavy rains, we're fast approaching having 100% of the corn and soybeans planted.
Market analyst Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Again, the markets are closed Monday for Memorial Day. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Hoosier Ag This Week.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture. We want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
We've got some significant moisture trying to come through over this holiday weekend, but then a wide open dry window is back for the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. Here's what's going on. Already we've dealt with a little bit of moisture overnight last night into this morning. We had some hit and miss scattered showers across the state, and looking at anywhere from a quarter to half an inch in terms of totals where it did rain, but there were plenty of holes. I think the rest of your Saturday turns out with a mix of clouds and sunshine, maybe a lingering shower in one or two spots, a little bit of instability out there, but I don't think it's a big deal today. We turn out mostly clear overnight tonight and start Sunday tomorrow with good sunshine. But tomorrow afternoon, showers and thunderstorms start to work into the western part of the state overnight tomorrow night into early Memorial Day morning. Everybody gets covered. Rain and thunderstorms bring the entire state of Indiana anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain. And we'll see whether we are in the low end of that. That is key, whether you're in the low end of the rain range or not, because we start to dry down Monday afternoon. I think your Memorial Day gets salvaged for the most part here. And we turn out at least partly sunny here with a mix of clouds and sunshine through Memorial Day afternoon. So evaporation, I think, starts up. We're going to be on our way to drying down. There is a little bit of wraparound backside moisture that wants to come together over the Great Lakes, particularly Michigan, through the day on Tuesday. I think cloud cover from this drags down into the northern tier counties of Indiana. Precipitation right now, I don't think so. We'll keep an eye out for the odd scattered shower or two. Elkhart County, St. Joe County, LaGrange, maybe even Steuben, getting back over off the southern end of Lake Michigan, LaPorte to Porter County. All those areas might see a little bit of a shower late Tuesday night, but I don't think it's anything big and nothing farther south. This is key because if we were the low end of the rain range in our rains for Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and early Monday, evaporation kicking off right away Monday afternoon. We are dry Tuesday, and here we go. I have no moisture in the forecast for Indiana Wednesday, for Thursday, for Friday, for Saturday, and for Sunday. Strong high pressure sits in over the eastern United States and gives us those back-to-back-to-back dry days. So if you still have field work yet to do, I think that if you can stay on the low end of the rain range, you'll be able to get back at it sooner rather than later next week. And with those 5 days back to back to back of drying, I think that we can nearly complete what is left to do here in the Hoosier State. Now, next is Sunday evening. So as we get through the second into the third, Sunday evening, overnight into Monday the third, there will be a frontal boundary that comes through, triggering some scattered rain showers, anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe half an inch. So not a lot of rain, but it's coming. I'm Ryan Martin.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers. Are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online. IHLEFabrications.com. Restore, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
Thank you for joining us this weekend as we bring you the latest Indiana and U.S. farm news, and as we remember and honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms this Memorial Day weekend. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week. Back in 1938, an Indiana farmer and his wife decided to start selling hybrid seed corn. 86 years later, their family's company is still growing and going strong. C.J. Miller shares their story.
My grandmother was probably the progressive businesswoman of her time, but that was a different time then, so Grandpa was the face of the operation.
And that's Brian Fisher of Fisher's Food Grade Seeds and Farms, based near Shelbyville. He says his grandparents, Charles and Dorothy Fisher, found success pretty quickly selling their brand of seed corn during the Great Depression.
And my grandfather was in a competition that they would have in those days called the World Corn King. It would be someone that could get the best 10-ear sample, and he won the competition six times. And after the sixth time, they made him a judge. So it's kind of where we got our start and sold seed corn to, I guess, customers that you couldn't drive off with a stick.
Years later, when Brian's father and uncle were managing the farm and the company, they decided to expand into food grade grain production and processing in the 1980s.
Somebody wanted to know if we could supply some corn for a corn chip company. And in the 80s, corn chips weren't quite as popular as they are today. So it seemed like a strange thing to do. And so we started doing one load a week, probably about all we could have done anyway. And it helped our business with some cash flow throughout the year. Seed was more of a seasonal thing. And that's where Fisher Food Grade got its birth.
Today, Brian says his family's company is helping to feed the world.
We clean white and yellow food grade corn and sell it to people that make corn chips, cereal, tortillas, a little bit of bourbon. Most of it's snack food and cereal stuff. Most of it's domestic business, but we do export some corn to Japan, Korea, Egypt. And then we do food grade soybeans as well. Most of those are actually exports. We raise non-GMO food grade soybeans that are mostly for either tofu or soy sauce.
In fact, Brian says you don't have to look too hard in your local grocery store to find products that originate from Fisher's.
Probably the easiest one to find would be a General Mills cereal.
I'm CJ Miller.
I've been working on the rail.
We all remember that old song, but here's the problem. Far fewer people are actually singing that song these days. And this U.S. senator is pretty concerned about that for U.S. farmers.
We know that rail service is how some of our producers get their products to market. And any cessation, especially when you're talking about perishable products, is a critical issue.
That's Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin on a quest for answers about severe staffing shortages causing challenges with the nation's railroads. She's calling on the six Class 1 railroads to address those shortages.
We were on the verge of a strike just a couple years ago here in the U.S. that was averted with last-minute negotiations. I have several layers of concerns with staffing issues. The freight rails tend to want to have fewer staff, which raises safety issues. I think you can't have a mile-long train without having adequate personnel for a matter of safety.
Baldwin points to data saying railroads reduced their staff by 30% between 2011 and 2021. That's compared to only a 3% decrease in carloads and a 1% drop in tons of freight during the same period. And Baldwin says the issue extends beyond the U.S. borders.
When we hear about the prospect of strikes in Canada, the disruptions that that could then impact in the United States are very significant. And some of the freight rail, as you know, are Canadian owned.
The Surface Transportation Board said in an April 22 hearing that staffing shortages were a major reason for exceptionally poor service levels. Well, planting progress has varied region by region across Indiana. It could be argued that Northeast Indiana has been hit the hardest by rain events this spring, halting planters and leaving farmers waiting, I'm sure, ever so patiently. Pioneer agronomist Lance Shepard says he's received about 9 inches of rain in Northeast Indiana since the beginning of April.
Thanks to the sand ground to the north and to Bend County, that's really pulling their weight. They're probably 70 to 80% complete, whereas there's a band basically running north of Wabash towards DeKalb County. And as you move east, it gets a lot wider that are probably 1 to 2% complete. So a big variation throughout my geography, but I would say that the majority of the areas is less than 30% complete.
So it begs the question, do we start thinking about changing to earlier maturities? Shepard says that for now, let's stick to plan A.
Even some of this fuller season stuff that we can plant in Northeast Indiana, such as 113 to 111 days, we should still reach black layer prior to our first frost, which on average is October 20th. So I would continue to go forward with plan A up here until the latter part of May, meaning Memorial Day weekend. And I would even say that we could push it until the calendar switches to June. Once the calendar switches to June, we will have to consider switching over to earlier maturity.
So when that time comes, say next weekend, get in touch with your Pioneer representative. County fair season will be here before you know it, which also means the return of a special food drive competition with the goal of helping those in need. Here's C.J. Miller.
It's called the Fight the Hunger, Stock the Trailer Food Drive Challenge, and it's supported by Farm Credit Mid-America and Rural First.
The 4-H youth and the junior leaders are the ones that are spearheading the competition.
Jessica Weathers is with Farm Credit Mid-America and says the Food Drive Challenge will pit the county fairs against each other to see which county's 4-H club can collect the most pounds in food donations for their trailer.
Last year we had 36 counties participating, and this year we have approximately 40 that have verbally committed. So it looks like it's going to be an even bigger year and an even better opportunity for our local 4-H youth and junior leaders to really help have an impact on fighting hunger in their local communities.
The Wabash County 4-H Club was last year's winner after having collected more than 15,000 pounds of food donations.
Last year, when the initiative was offered statewide, we were able to collect 99,020 pounds. And since we're having more counties hopefully participating this year, we're looking at breaking that 100,000 pound mark.
And once the county fairs are over, that's when the winners of this year's competition will be announced.
And for first place prize, they are going to receive $5,000 to go towards their club and all of their youth and junior initiatives. And then we're also rewarding second, third, fourth, and fifth place with $4,000, $3,000, $2,000, $1,000 prizes. And all of the counties that are participating will receive $250. But if those counties collect over 1,000 pounds, then that amount increases to $500.
And there's still time for your local 4-H club at your county fair to sign up to be a part of the Fight the Hunger, Stock the Trailer Food Drive Challenge. Just reach out to your local Farm Credit Mid-America office, or you can find more information at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Stick around. There's more to come here on Hoosier Ag this week. We get ready for the big race and that big swig of milk coming up here on Hoosier Ag this week.
As a lending cooperative owned by farmers, Farm Credit Mid-America is committed to securing the future of rural communities and agriculture. That's why our customers have had access to agricultural loans, leases, and crop insurance from a lender who is focused on farmers' futures for over a century. Visit us online at fcma.com to experience what it's like to work with a lender who understands farmers' needs. Loans and leases subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag this week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and if you're a fan of the Indianapolis 500, then no doubt you've heard, or maybe you've even seen, the late great Jim Nabors perform back home again in Indiana, as he did for many years with the Purdue University Marching Band as part of the pre-race ceremonies. In fact, Nabors performed the song a total of 36 times between 1972 and 2014. And that tradition continues before this Sunday's race with Jim Cornelison. Another tradition out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway involves Indiana's dairy producers and a bottle of milk.
The fans here like their traditions.
And that's Donald Davidson, historian emeritus with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. One of the biggest traditions is the glass bottle of milk given to the winner of the Indy 500 as part of the celebration immediately following the race. Davidson says that tradition first started nearly 90 years ago.
Louis Meyer, who ended up winning the race three times, regularly drank buttermilk. Not milk, but buttermilk. That's what he drank on a hot day. He used to say that that the tradition started in 1933. Well, he may have drunk milk in 33, but we have no photographic record of that. And we do know Louis Meyer wins again in 1936, and then he's given this bottle of buttermilk. And it was photographed. And so apparently some executive in the milk industry saw that and thought, you know, what great publicity.
Davidson says the tradition really didn't pick up until more than 20 years later.
Every year up through 1941, and then after the war in 46, but from 47 to 55, Milk, I think, was offered a couple of times, but nobody drank it. And there was no prize money involved in the early days. So in 1956, it was a cash prize. If the winner drank milk, he got $300, and the chief mechanic got $50. And as luck would have it, in 1956, Pat Flaherty drank milk regularly anyway, because he had some kind of a bone condition. And so anyway, milk has been offered every year since, and now it's a lot more than $300.
Indeed, that cash prize from the American Dairy Association of Indiana is $10,000 for the winner and $500 for the winning crew chief. Every year before the race, each of the drivers are asked about their preference of whole milk, 2%, or fat-free milk to sip on should they win. And even though that tradition first started with buttermilk and Louis Meyer, neither buttermilk nor chocolate milk are offered. Milk was also the star earlier this past week during the 50th Fastest Rookie Luncheon presented by American Dairy Association Indiana, as Indiana dairy producers honored not only the fastest rookie, but all rookies who qualify for the Indy 500.
It's not just an Indiana thing. It's not just even a national thing. It's worldwide, and dairy farmers are right front and center.
That's Jenny Browning, the CEO of American Dairy Association Indiana. 33 drivers have two goals in mind for this weekend's Indy 500. The first is to finish first across the yard of bricks. The second is to celebrate with an ice-cold bottle of milk in Victory Circle. Linus Lundquist drives the number 8 for Chip Ganassi Racing and is one of this year's 6 rookie drivers.
Holding that bottle of milk and drinking it, pouring all over you, it's one of the things you dream of since you were a little kid. It means so much. It's one thing that you chase your whole life to do.
This year's fastest rookie is Kyle Larson, who's not only a NASCAR driver and plans to be in the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday night in Charlotte, but he's also going to be driving for Arrow McLaren and Rick Hendrick Motorsports in the 500. Larson told Hoosier Ag Today what it would mean for him to take the checkered flag and celebrate with milk at the end of the race.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be amazing. I don't even know, like, it's hard to predict what that feeling would be like. So I just hope we can continue to put ourselves in a position to execute a good race and then hopefully give ourselves a shot.
This year's winner will be handed their milk by Indy 500 veteran milk presenter Alex Neuenschwander. He says being a part of the victory celebration is an experience of a lifetime.
You know, when I was a little kid, we'd get home from church and we'd go to my grandpa's house and we'd sit down and we'd watch the Indy 500. In fact, my grandpa would slip out of church early and listen to it on the radio. It was never over until we saw the milk get handed to the driver. As a young dairy farmer growing up, that's what I was, you know, I loved to see. It was like, that is awesome.
You can watch the highlights from the 50th Fastest Rookie Luncheon presented by American Dairy Association Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Well, the checkered flag is about to wave on this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. Download the podcast version of today's show at HoosierAgToday.com. And for Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, Sabrina Halverson, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.